The first cell phone was demonstrated in 1973 by Martin Cooper. You know what wasn't demonstrated? Shared plans. Over 50 years later, you can save on one line thanks to Visible. When you switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless Visible, you can get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees. No, really. You can look around for them. They're not there. Switch now at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
All sense of reality and enter another world. Remember, do not underestimate the power of PlayStation.
Beyond.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Podcast Beyond, episode 310. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the Dark Knight of News, Andrew Goldfarb.
It's only me, Greg. Where's Colin?
I know. No, Colin is over in that Japan. He's getting ready for that TGS. He's over there. He's probably eating at the McDonald's in Japan and all that jazz.
He's definitely eating at the McDonald's. That's what he did in Germany.
All right, I take it back. I give you and Damon a lot of hell for this podcast. Either you, or not you. It's more Colin and Damon who come in here like, this podcast room sucks for podcasting. But when it's just two people, it's kind of awkward. Hold on.
So last week it was just me and Colin. I sat on that side of the table, but then it makes a shitty video.
Didn't record it, and then we lost $1 million.
We lost billions of dollars. Yeah,
everybody wants to watch Fireside Chats V.
We could do it like over the shoulder. It could be like cutting back and forth.
Well, I record every one of
you. Like fully tilting. All right.
Yeah, I want to get close to you.
Yeah, this is good. Our knees are touching.
No, we're more than that's touching.
Yeah,
in a second.
It's got intimate.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Podcast Beyond, episode 310. The internet's number one PlayStation podcast. IGN's only PlayStation podcast.
Which works out well.
We're pretty proud of that.
Yeah.
Every Tuesday we post a new episode for you, even on days like this, because guess what, Andrew? It's September 17th.
1 week from episode 311.
No, not the news. Today's news is that Grand Theft Auto 5 is officially out.
Oh,
and that's all anybody wants to watch, hear about, read, view a video about. So we're going to answer a bunch of questions about Grand Theft Auto 5. Don't turn off the podcast. We're asking, these aren't spoiler questions. People have written in with questions about how it compares, this, that, and the other. What are we going to do? Stuff like that. We'll get to all that.
Yep.
Also, if your email gets read today on the show, look back in your email inbox for an email from me. You're getting Killzone Mercenary on Vita for free.
It's really good.
That's exciting.
I like it a lot.
Good news is that it's a hard copy of the game you'll be getting.
Oh.
So Eric Martin on the social team gets to mail out 10 copies of Killzone Mercenary. So good for him. Let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. So depressing when it's just one person.
Yeah.
It's just one person.
You can double it up and make it sound like two of us.
Let's start with the biggest news of the week, Andrew.
Okay.
SingStar is going to be rebooted as a free-to-play game.
It makes sense. I think it's smart.
I thought we already knew this, wasn't it? I thought I could have sworn that there was a thing about that there was a, this is going to be a platform, and it's going to be this app, and yet I guess maybe I didn't.
Maybe this is the first like formal announcement of it.
Okay, that might
make
sense.
This is an Australian story. What am I?
Lucy Bryant.
Oh, it's me, Lucy O'Brien.
Oh, wow.
This SingStar show is getting...
so much like Keza.
Oh, it's me, Keza McDonald, GTA 5, 10 out of 10, I say.
I think for music games in general, free-to-play makes a lot of sense. I'm actually surprised like Just Dance hasn't gone
It's
that
weird
way.
That it's free-to-play, but you don't need to have a microphone.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess we all have them from Rock Band and everything else. They work, but...
That's a really good point. Yeah, it's like...
app you download, and then you're like, oh, cool, I can't do anything with it.
Well, I mean, that's sort of like Playroom comes pre-installed in PS4, but you have to buy the peripheral to play it.
Sure,
I think it's like the idea is if you're investing in the hardware, they want you to have at least that one piece of software that shows it off for free.
Fun story, Andrew.
Mm-hmm.
SingStar never got wireless mics in America. They only went to the UK. I wonder why SingStar didn't take off here.
Super dumb.
Bunch of jerks.
People like being tethered to their system by a 3-foot
cord.
Yeah,
they're getting them all tangled up.
That's how you have parties.
Tied in a big knot, and that's a great time. All right, number two on the Roper Report, no particular order. Eco and GTA Liberty City Stories are free to PlayStation Plus members this why do you give a sigh?
It's like, once again, like, these are incredible games. Like, I mean, you've said it a billion times. Like, you could just play, like, some of the best games ever made for free every month.
You could buy a Vita and or a PS3 and soon a PlayStation 4, and then you would never have to buy another game. You'd have so if you just wanted one game to play a month, you'd be great. Especially if you bought it early and kept stockpiling stuff. But this is Eco, of course, from PlayStation 2. One of them games that is like, ooh, this is what games are art. And then Grand Theft Auto, Liberty City Stories, which was Vice City. I'm sorry, Grand Theft Auto. What do they call it? Liberty City Stories. Yeah.
Yep.
And it's Liberty City Stories and Vice City Stories.
Yep. That's those two games, Eco and GTA Liberty City Stories, were developed as companion games. Actually,
they were. So. There's a lot of tie-ins when you're playing as Eco that you see cars in the distance.
Really good. Yeah, you have to look really carefully. So pause the game and like really look at it in high def.
Yeah, you should probably just start a wiki about it and find all the tie-in references and see if it syncs up with Dark Side of the Moon. Next one, Battlefield 4 is getting an open beta in October.
Hooray!
Hooray!
I mean, it's so weird to me.
See, I doubt that news story. But then Colin be like, "Well, I'll tell you what, you know, the establishment, but like people really wanted." I do a bad Colin.
No,
I hang out with Colin a lot.
That was a pretty good Colin.
Colin has never said the establishment.
I don't know if that's true. Somebody write in and say if Colin has ever said the establishment.
Excuse me, on Podcast Beyond, episode 153, Colin clearly says the establishment.
I think maybe he was talking about a band named The Establishment. I think it's funny because we found out about Battlefield 4 through a leak about the beta. It was people who bought Medal of Honor got access to the Battlefield 4 beta. That was inadvertently when they announced Battlefield 4. So it's funny that it took a year and a half to actually hear concrete news about when this beta is starting.
Yep. But here it is. Coming in October. Congratulations, first-person shooter fans.
Like, we've talked about this before, but that's what, 3 weeks before the actual game is out. So it's not really a beta. They're not going to change anything. I mean, they'll patch it, but
sure.
Yeah,
but are they testing their servers? You know what I mean? Like, what
it's
are they doing
testing.
With it?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But we saw that work for SimCity.
Yeah, exactly.
Next up on the Roper Report, number four, maybe three. I don't even know anymore.
I believe four.
Okay, PlayStation 4 and Xbox One have been compared how fast they run by developers, and one developer said the PS4 ran 50% faster.
Everyone,
and then Microsoft pooped the bed and yelled at everybody. What'd they do? What happened? Give me the summation here.
I mean, it blew up that the PS4 is better than the Xbox One, and started a bunch of crazy flame wars and comments and the typical thing. Like, I mean, I feel kind of bad at this point because anything we write, no matter how innocent, no matter what it is, has kind of become this big argument about PS4 versus Xbox One.
The IGN, why are you farming for clicks with this? It's like, I'm just telling you news or my opinion.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
But Microsoft released a statement. I actually like their statement, which is I mean, first of all, it does sound like the PS4 is probably faster, just factually. It sounds like people have talked about how the it's a different type of RAM and how it's faster and has better specs and all these things, and knowing nothing about
specs,
anything technical,
knowing nothing about how something works,
exactly, understanding nothing about the actual technical side of it, I find it really interesting that Microsoft is look, 10 years ago this is how people compared consoles, but now it's not just about gaming performance, it's more about the services that are offered and how you're using your console when you're at home. And even though that's kind of a weird indirect way of addressing the actual problem, if PS4 is more powerful, at the same time they're not wrong. I mean, Wii won last generation, that was the least powerful console, so
who knows? Doesn't matter.
It's about the experience it offers, and I don't think even if PS4 is more powerful, that doesn't necessarily mean anything as far as sales or performance or the games that'll be coming and all that stuff.
Are you pre-ordering an Xbox One?
I pre-ordered both the day of the E3 conferences,
and you're gonna keep them both?
Yeah, I sold a bunch of stuff. I have the money ready to go to pay off my credit card as each one ships.
Nice. Yeah, see, I put up a video. You're talking about people getting in trouble this week with fans and clickbaiting. I put up a video that was totally heartfelt, honest thing of I pre-ordered my Xbox One, and now I'm kind of having doubts about it. Do I need this system? And I wasn't trying to troll. I wasn't trying to be a jerk. The video itself was me and Vince having a real thought-out conversation about it, but people flipped out about it. And so I'm still the line we came to was, I should keep them for work. I should keep it so I have something to say. I should know what's happening in every ecosystem from day one. It'll be cool to have that.
Of course.
But people are still freaking out about it. But I'm still not super happy in that decision.
No, I mean, we're in a different position than everybody else, though. It's the same way. It's personally, I'm probably less excited about GTA than some other people are, but I'm absolutely going to play it because I have to be part of the game
year
conversation.
It
becomes the same thing with consoles and all these other things. I mean, you have to you have to be aware of what's going on for your work. And that comes out of our personal get money to buy these consoles. But for me, and you've said this a million times, you said this about Wii U when we talk in private over candlelit dinners and stuff.
Of course. Cheesed candlelit
that
dinners.
You're gonna get it eventually. If you would get it for Titanfall eventually anyway. So it's
and there won't be a price drop. This is what I kept saying about what's different about the Wii U and the Xbox One for me is the fact that Wii U comes out, and honestly, there's nothing on the Wii U I can't live without until Mario Kart. And granted, there's already this price drop. So, I mean, like, I said I wouldn't buy it at the price it was. I'd wait till the game I want comes out on it. And kind of we're getting there slowly. But I'm still not even sure if there won't be another price drop before Mario Kart.
There won't be, but there's no world in which they don't do a Mario Kart bundle.
Exactly.
Mario Kart Wii, I believe, is, like, among the best two or three best-selling games on the whole platform.
Sure,
so it's
I remember
like,
when
know.
I bought that one, yeah.
Yeah.
But so the counter-argument, though, for Xbox One is by the time Titanfall comes out, there will not be a Titanfall price drop. And there'll be downloadable games I'll want. I want to play Peggle, too. So, I mean, like, you know, there's all these other things. Right now, I want to play Dead Rising 3. I want to see reviews on it before I buy it. I'm not super confident in it, but...
I mean, it's funny, though. Like, I'm absolutely excited about PS4 and about Xbox One. Neither one really... Like, the launch games I'm excited for aren't... Like, Peggle 2 and Resogun, all these things are awesome. They're not worth $900
in
console
selling.
Purchases.
Yeah. Of course, DC Universe Online in stunning HD.
That's the thing.
High definition.
I'm going to be so busy playing that Bioshock DLC, I'm not even going to play these new consoles. I think Dead Rising 3 is kind of the one game... I'm actually really excited for Knack, personally, too. But Dead Rising 3 is the one game for me that I'm, like, really excited to see how it reviews. Because I love the Dead Rising games. Like, they have their save problems. They have things that I'm not really into. But Dead Rising is a game that, like, next-gen open world is what I want, that I'm most excited about. Yeah. And we'll get AC. We'll get Watch Dogs. But, like, Titanfall is so far away. Infamous is, like, the one I'm really most excited about. That's still so far away. Like... You know, I feel like Dead Rising might be my chance to get, like, my first true next-gen open-world experience, maybe.
Sure.
But we have to wait.
It's one of those things, too, that we say that, and you'll look ahead 3 years and be like, I can't believe I thought that was next-gen open-world.
Yeah, we always want to say...
it'll be beamed into your eyes soon.
We want to say this is the launch that'll be different, where it doesn't take 3 years to really, like, harness the power of the console, but it won't be.
Even, like, I know, like, I'm saving Black Flag for my PS4.
Yeah.
And it's like, when I play that, it's just going to be... crisper looking visuals, right? And the touchpad integration, that'll be like the big change over the PS3 version I could be playing.
That's the difference between Assassins and Watch Dogs. I feel like Watch Dogs, we've never even seen it running current gen, whereas like Assassins, we know what it looks like. It looks like Assassin's Creed.
Yeah, you've already seen this game. You know what exactly you're getting into. All right, next on the Roper Report, PlayStation 4 stock held back to combat shortages. I don't understand what the hell that means.
Yeah, so they're saying, I don't even remember who it was talking actually. Was it Tretton?
I'm checking. It was Jack.
Yeah, was saying.
In an interview with Fox Business, Sony Computer Entertainment America boss Jack Tretton. Heads up, when we say boss, that usually means we're not 100% sure what their title is.
Yeah,
Jack
Sony's
Tretton.
Jack Tretton.
Someone's trying to get this story out as fast as they can. Sorry to call you out, Luke. Yeah, Luke. But yeah, and also, what do you care? We always get hung up. Oh, he's CEO. What does that matter to the reader? A guy in charge, an important guy at Sony says.
Also, I really would love the day when Jack Tretton like calls IGN. He's like, listen, you called me North American CEO, but I'm actually North American CEO and COO. But no, I think what they're saying, I think in this, I was a little confused because his statement was like...
I'll read it here. He revealed the company wants to make sure stock is readily available throughout the holiday season so anyone who wants to buy a PS4 can do so. Quote, we want to make sure people can buy a PS4 on November 15th and through the holidays, he said. So we're holding back some inventory to make sure people will be able to buy one. So basically what he's saying is they're parsing them out.
Right.
So that every week there's new units in stores.
Yeah, so it's, I mean, I think we were just talking about this with Brian, one of our video guys, and I guess what he's saying is like, yeah, if they kind of blow their wad in one run and put everything out there, then like they'll sell out on launch day and then there's not going to be shipments for weeks. Whereas if they do like shipments and periodic...
They just sell out every Friday or whatever they put
like
them out.
That's what
like
it was
the
for
Wii.
Wii.
Yeah.
It took so long to be able to walk into a store and buy a Wii. I guess that's what they're trying to avoid. I'm a little confused, though, because this means that on day one, everyone who goes to buy PS4 won't be able to buy one because they're holding back stock.
Well, if you pre-order them, I think you should be all right, right?
Yeah. If you have a pre-order, I would imagine.
Yeah.
Okay. Over a million.
There it is. The Andrew Goldfarb catchphrase. Stealing it back from Soup. And then rounding out the Roper Report. One of those stories of, oh, really? No, duh.
Yeah.
The old Vita versus new Vita comparison. Colin put this up. Some people posted images comparing them from NeoGraph.
They're still off screen. We haven't seen them in person yet.
Sure. And guess what, everybody? As you'd imagine, the OLED screen looks better than the new LCD screen.
Someone pointed out, look at the blacks. You can tell from the blacks. The blacks are so deep on the OLED, and they look really good.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, they just don't, even in this off-screen thing, don't look quite as good in LCD. But that said, I mean, it's cheaper for Sony, and you can buy it for $50 cheaper. So.
Yeah, and if you don't want that, then get off your butt and buy the Vita that's out right now.
Yeah.
Don't be stupid.
Yeah.
Big idiots.
God, stop it.
God, why are you guys doing this? Just buy it. It'll be fine.
I'm out of coffee. This makes me a little sad.
Go make some more.
This is, well,
no, I carry the show while you do this.
This is iced coffee from Great American Bagelry.
It's the first time
I've gotten coffee from there in forever.
I like their bagels.
The bagels are good. I got a bagel from there too. This is better than Crossroads Coffee, and I think I like it better than
Ironside. Don't say something you can't take back.
Ironside's really good.
All right, good.
Blue Bottle Ironside is still my favorite because that's what four barrel coffee.
Yeah.
Welcome to the Coffee Cast.
Hey, everybody. The number one coffee podcast on the internet. CoffeeCast. IGN.com. Andrew.
Mm-hmm.
I'm super stoked about Infamous Second Son and DC Universe Online on the PS4. But those games aren't out yet, kind of. If I, well, DC Universe is kind of out, but not on PS4.
Yeah, yeah.
With the good-looking graphics and whatnot. Mm-hmm. If I wanted to know what came to stores this week, where can I go to find out that information?
The official IGN list of upcoming PlayStation software on all three platforms by the IGN editors.
Yeah. Do-do-do-do-do. Rest in peace, Clements.
Oh,
sad. Oh, he just works at PlayStation now.
Yeah.
He's not dead. He's just not here.
Well, it's like Weekend at Bernie's. Like, they like animate his course so he can like do stuff.
Sid's walking around with a Ryan Clements attached to his arm. GTA 5 came out.
Oh my god.
Nobody's stupid enough to go up against that.
Yeah, is there anything else this week?
I have no idea.
I remember Altano last fall did a really funny feature. It was called like the games dumb enough to launch against Black Ops 2.
Yeah, wasn't it like Sent to Die or whatever?
Yeah, it was like so many like licensed games and bad stuff. I don't know that anything else came out today, yeah. Or, I mean, nothing about
it. We're checking.
Yeah.
I'm checking I got the internet in front of me here.
Saints Row did a GAT 5 DLC, GAT5. That was pretty funny.
Yeah, and it sold well, I thought.
I think they like bought the hashtag or something.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
That's what am I, the news editor? I don't know
what's going on. I don't know what's going on over here. I ain't reporting on these things. Yeah, it looks like Grand Theft Auto is the only thing that came out today.
Yeah. Well, smart. I mean, yeah.
For the rest of the industry. They moved Killzone, remember? Kills and Mercenaries were supposed to come out this week, and they moved it back a week when they figured this out.
Because it would have just dominated GTA, and they didn't want to do that to Rockstar.
No, they don't want to make anybody feel bad.
Obviously. Yeah, exactly.
So like I said, ladies and gentlemen, you write into Podcast Beyond, beyond@IGN.com, and you get your questions right in the air here. Mm-hmm. You get them read this week, get one of these Kills and Mercenaries on Vita, which means you'll have to email me back your address. Maybe I'll hit you up before the show even goes live. Probably not, because I'm kind of busy today.
Yep.
However, like I said, lots of GTA questions. However, none of these are going to spoil GTA for you.
I haven't played, right? So I hope so.
So let's start right with this. Matthew writes into beyond@IGN.com and says, Beyond. I recently sold my Xbox 360 because I'm making the switch to PS4 and wanted to pay off the system with my console and games. I really want GTA 5, but don't have a console to play until November 15th. What are the chances that GTA 5 will be ported to next-gen consoles as well?
I feel like 99%.
Right. I agree with it. The problem is, don't hold your breath.
Yeah.
I think what you're going to get is next year, you'll get Game of the Year edition, GTA 5, with all the DLC they've released this year or they're going to release, and it'll be on next-gen systems.
Yeah, and I think the one saving grace might be, and we've talked about this extensively, GTA Online. You have to imagine GTA Online will be offered maybe even as an a la carte thing on next-gen consoles before possibly even the core game.
Yeah, that strikes me as a client-based thing, similar to, like, I hate to keep bringing up DC Universe Online, right? But this is like I'm being serious about this reference.
Yeah.
Is that, like, that I could see them putting that out there for free even, and then microtransactions being the way that you, or a subscription fee maybe if it takes off. But from what they're talking about, I mean, like, that GTA Online sounds awesome.
Yeah.
Only Ryan's played it, really. I'm looking forward to getting my hands on October 1st or whatever. But
and you can think about like how easy that would be for them to add Liberty City and to add Vice City and to like make it into this bigger and bigger thing.
Right.
But yeah, I think there will inevitably be a PC version. When that happens, there will be a next-gen version.
Right.
I mean, yeah, that's the point, right? Can you wait 9 more months to play GTA, or do you want to just get a cheap
Sounds
launch?
Like Matthew's got no choice.
Yeah.
Sold off his only system, waiting for the PS4. Which was a silly move, no offense, Matthew.
I agree. Because you have enough time, right? Like, there's still 2 months. Like,
yeah, you what were you thinking? It's not like GTA 5 snuck up on you. Snuck up on you.
Snooky.
Snooky! She's snooky upping on me.
I think you can get, like, a pretty cheap launch 360 at this point, I would imagine. Used, even.
Yeah.
Buy it for, like, $129, resell it,
or just watch all the videos on IGN and live vicariously.
Yeah, that's true.
Through
that's
John Ryan and Jared Petty.
I mean, that's the funny thing about GTA. I mean, I mentioned earlier that I feel a little less crazy about it than everyone else, but it's like when I sit down and play it, like I know I'll fall into it. And when you watch like videos from GTA, just the scale of it is insane. And I think that's more like Mitch was saying today, it's the first time in a long time he can remember seeing like a video from something and being like, Jesus, like how is this a real game that I can play? And like that's the thing you have to experience for yourself.
Well, you know, hold on, let's pull up. I got a question that will Greg weigh into
perfect.
It comes from Ben.
Hey, Ben.
Ben says, Beyond.
Beyond.
I hated GTA 4, so I had trouble trusting the review for 5. I decided to give it a chance anyway, and I wanted to send quick impressions to give others that perspective. It's great. The car handling, which was my main gripe with GTA 4, has been fixed, closer to San Andreas now than 4. I've only played one mission so far because I've just been having so much fun messing around. It's hard to explain why, but that element was missing in GTA 4. I think they really managed to recapture some of the fun of San Andreas in this one.
That's awesome.
What Ben's driving at that I find interesting is that...
Driving at?
you know, when I talk about when somebody wants to talk to me and they're like, "Man, I played Uncharted 3 and Uncharted 3 wasn't a 10." I always say, "Well, it's not a 10 for you because I think the bar got set too high." When you tell someone something's a 10 and you give them the game, their expectations get to a level where they're like, "This is what this, that, and the other." When I started GTA 5, I was like, "Here we go. This is going to be great." And I started playing, I'm like, "This is more GTA. What the hell?" And then you're like, wait, I love GTA, don't get me wrong. But playing it, then it starts growing on you, and it's like, I want to play all the time, and I need to get back to it, and what's happening. But what was really mind-blowing is we just did the live stream today where we played for 2 hours, and it was me, John Ryan, and Ryan McCaffrey. Find it on IGN.com. And it was us screwing around and doing, you know, just, let's hijack this plane, let's go to the top of the mountain, let's see this, how many stars can we get. Playing like you used to play the old GTAs, right, when you would play San Andreas for hours on end. And what's crazy about it is that I'm 18 hours into my game at home, right, and I've been playing it like a movie, you know what I mean? Like, I'm doing story, 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 and then doing this stuff today, it was just like, how is this possible that there's like these completely different experiences? Where now all I want to do is go home and get a jumbo jet and fly around, you know, and crash it and do all this other crap.
Yeah, that's the amazing thing about sandbox games in general. But like Rockstar does it better than anybody. Like you could buy this game and just play it forever. Like especially now with GTA Online coming, like
yeah.
You can. It's like what? Like it's supposed to be 30 hours of just story content, and that's not even counting all of the insane shit you can do in the world itself. That is crazy. Yeah, like that is the exciting part about GTA, is the scale of it, and that they do games, you know, they're few and far between, but when they come, they're bigger than what anyone else is doing.
Right. They're, you know, I was interviewed for NPR, and I was talking about the business of video games a bit, and how there's some games like Madden or Call of Duty that are going to come out every year, annually, whereas GTA can come out and make such an impact just by, and like, take 5 years off and then come back and be like, here's a new one. We've spent millions of dollars. You know what I mean? I think like the figure people are throwing around is like $200 million was spent on this game or whatever.
It's like a Hollywood movie. That's like a AAA movie.
But then the other number now, of course, is that it's going to make $1 billion in its first month.
Yeah.
And so it's like, well, you don't have to really work if you can build up this reputation and keep it going.
Right.
Part of that being the size.
That's what's so crazy is that like Black Ops 2 made, 10 days and made $1 billion. And it's like GTA will probably do something similar. And it's like Black Ops is an annual, or Call of Duty rather, is annualized. And GTA doesn't even have to be really, because like Rockstar only needs to, you know, they finesse it and make it perfect and do this gigantic thing. I think it would lessen it if you were getting it every year.
Sure, and I think, and they're cognizant of that. When I went and got to talk to Dan Houser when we did the reveal event with them and talked to them a bit about that and stuff, that was what they were saying. He's like, you know, we could cash in and we don't want to do that. We don't want people to think of us as just this, oh, here comes another GTA, and it's this, that, and the other. Yeah. And they kind of toyed with that a bit, not cashing in, obviously, but like making 3 and then making Vice City the next year, right? Turning around and having a similar experience, but not maybe I don't think they were happy with the boundaries they pushed, even though everybody loved Vice City, right? That it had this awesome soundtrack and it was cool and it was fun, but doing something completely different.
Yeah.
Now, we're talking about how we like the big old world.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite thing about GTA 5 right now is the discovery, the distractions, right? I'm driving and then a random event happens and I have to go investigate, and then that takes me to another question, and then all of a sudden I forget what I was originally out to do. Tanner writes in, he says, there was a lot of buzz leading up to the launch of GTA 5 about the size of the map. While I understand this is a selling point to a lot of gamers, in the past I've struggled with some of these open-world games. To me, sandbox-style games usually come at the expense of good story, visuals, pacing, and gameplay. Sure, I love Fallout and Red Dead, but I typically prefer the linearity of Uncharted or Bioshock. Do you feel like open-world games are focusing too much on expanding the size of their worlds without filling them with interesting things to do?
It's the value of that world, right? So it's like, I love Arkham City, I love Fallout, I like a lot of open world games, but I agree that occasionally you kind of suffer from that, like, oh god, this area is like so similar to this other area I was just in,
right, even though
the map is really big and took a long time to get there, you had to fast travel, whatever, like, it doesn't feel different. What's cool about it, and I haven't even ever played GTA yet, but just watching over people's shoulders and even watching videos and stuff, like, those areas feel so different. It's not just that the world is big, it's that it is like you were in downtown LA and now you're in like the mountains of California and now you're like in this totally different rural area, and like that's what's so cool. It's not even just that it's big, it's the quality of that world and that experience. Everywhere you're going feels like a new area, and that to me is the accomplishment, not necessarily just the sheer size of it.
I like that you going to these different places. If you're out, you know, in the desert with Trevor, or you're down in the city, or you're out with Franklin in like the ghetto, like that there's a different feel to each one of those. There's different characters around. There's different events happening. It isn't all just like you're saying, copy and paste, right? That here's what's happening. You know, you can only really hunt out by Trevor's area. You can only really like do therapy missions by Michael's and stuff like that. Like, it's really fascinating the way they've populated that world. Like, I think it's something people struggle with. In Fallout, for sure, I didn't feel like, oh man, like, There's not enough to do here. You know what I mean? There's nothing in this world. And I don't feel that in GTA either. I mean, it might not be that there's a huge story mission everywhere you go, but there's definitely things to do, stores to hit up. You know, you can. I didn't even realize till today playing on the live stream that you can rob convenience stores and stuff. Like, they don't pop up on my maps. I never thought to go inside them. And then, you know, we were going in, just holding them up and taking money. I was like, damn, man, I didn't even know you could do this.
Yeah, it's so deep. That's the crazy thing. I mean, it's true, right? Like, yeah, like I put like hundreds of hours in Fallout 3. I was never bored with that game. I was never bored with Arkham City or any of these other open world games, Infamous, whatever. But like, it's a very different thing when you're like going from one area to another and basically doing the same thing, Borderlands, whatever. Like, yeah. you're essentially doing the same general task over and over and over again. Versus GTA just seems to mix it up in a way that like no other game really can on that like scale.
Yeah, yeah. Connor writes in. This is Connor from Ireland. He points that out.
Okay.
Don't confuse this with Connor from Connecticut.
Okay.
Connor from Ireland.
Is he still going to get – is this an international kill zone thing?
No. Oh, God damn it. Good point. Well, yeah. I don't care. That's Eric Martin's problem.
Yeah, exactly.
Connor writes in from Ireland. He says, Beyond and Brap Brap and blah, blah, blah. Seeing as GTA 5 is just out, what is the first thing you're going to do in it or did as soon as you're able to do anything you want? Andrew, what are you going to do?
I'm just going to drive around. I agree with the previous question. Like, the missions are awesome, and I'm looking forward to the story, but, like, I just want to drive around that world. Like, I just want to – go in like a huge circle and like see the perimeter of that map and understand some of the different areas. If it's open when you start,
it is. Yeah, you can start from the very beginning.
That's
like,
so
it's got like Fog of War, where if you haven't gone to investigate it, you don't see it, but you can still get to it.
Awesome.
So yeah, it's totally up for exploring and doing all that stuff.
That's so cool. Yeah, I mean that's what I like to do in open world games. That's why I always talk about Need for Speed Most Wanted on Vita. I just like drive around in that game, like not even doing anything in particular, and like. I love open, like that's. I used to just listen to podcasts or music or whatever, and just drive around.
Well, the radio stations are so good, right? Like I find myself just like I'm still in that mode of like I want to see a little bit of everything and taste everything before I commit to what exactly I'm doing. But I do want to at some point just drive and listen to the radio and like listen to the new, not Chatterbox, but their new talk shows and Fernando and all that stuff.
And the track list looks great too.
Yeah, like, it's really fun.
Yeah, GTA is so cool. Keza says in her video review, and she nailed it. She's really right. There are these moments, and it's like really only GTA can get it this right, where you're just driving around and you're listening. This song, and you're like, this song is like perfect for this moment, as though they could have possibly known what you're gonna be doing in that moment. But yeah, like that feels so good when it just like serendipitously works out that way. Yeah, the more I'm talking about it, I'm like getting myself more excited.
Yeah,
to go home and play.
You're just gonna quit today and go home and play.
I'm
we
out
should
here.
Have had the day off. That'd yeah, be nice.
Scott did it right.
Scott Lowe?
Yeah,
I thought I saw him here today.
Nope.
You know,
nope.
Connor has a bonus question.
Ooh.
It's for Colin and me. Do you guys share PS3s or do you have your own? At home, because Colin and I live together.
Yeah.
We have our own. We'd murder each other if we shared a PS3.
You have one bed, one PS3.
One heart-shaped bed. One heart-shaped bathtub.
It's like in Brothers. You have one controller, but you use different sides of it.
That's weird. that was a weird one. David writes in with a non-GTA question.
What?
Just kidding. It's GTA.
Okay, good.
Beyond. So GTA 5 is out. And I'm really psyched about getting it. The problem is, if I buy it for the PS3 now and they announce the PS4 version a couple months down, I'll feel cheated. So do you think there will be damn it, this is one we already answered. But he asked it in such a different way.
Well, I mean, I don't think you should feel cheated, no. Like, I mean, like, so here's the thing. If they're doing
Should you take the chance and wait, he says.
I wouldn't say wait. If you have a current gen console, buy it. And here's why, right? Like, yes, it would suck to, like, put all this progress into current gen and then they announce the next gen version. But if they're developing them concurrently, you would imagine... I mean, I'm not saying it's a guarantee, but it would make sense if they were building some kind of system so saves can transfer. Because they're building the games at the same time.
Yeah.
So, like, maybe you can bring your progress.
I don't think you'll be able to. That's my prediction. I think the Game of the Year SKU, you're saying,
You're just breaking my heart.
Sorry, I think the Game of the Year SKU will have a different, like, thing. It won't even
I mean, it's like Call of Duty, Battlefield, so many other games are letting you do this. I think it makes the most sense to... Because... I mean, like the install
base. These are ones coming out like right on the border of next gen. Like this is going to be by the time GTA Game of the Year Next Gen Edition comes out, I think we'd be so far down the rabbit hole that
you wouldn't even want to.
It wouldn't be a big deal.
Maybe you're right. I still think there's a possibility.
Sure, there's always a possibility.
We can bet on it.
I'm still waiting on my PSP GPS. There's a possibility that's coming to the States. I played it at Comic Con.
The DVR.
Yeah,
also,
it's got to be. It's got to be right around the corner, right?
Yeah. And the Patapon sequel. See the Patapon mobile game someone's talking about? What is that?
It's some knockoff iOS
game. Oh, so it's like not actually it. I thought it was like one of those weird Sony things that comes out in like a different territory or whatever.
I don't think it is.
Marty called it the Patapon mobile game.
Well, that's what everybody called it when they tweeted at me.
I couldn't even be bothered to
click on any of the links.
You want specifically Patapon.
I want trophies. Yeah. I want Patapon trophies. I don't want just Patapon on my phone. What do I look like, a homeless person?
A little bit.
Oh, damn. I gotta change this shirt.
I actually kind of look like a homeless person right now.
So I like the beard. It's looking good. Rub your beard on the mic there, like Micah used to. There you go, everybody. That's
you probably can't even hear it.
Yeah, I'm sure they did.
I bet if Marty did it, you could hear it.
Yeah, the mic would disappear. You'd come back and there'd just be,
brush fire.
There'd be a mic skeleton. That's all that would be left. Alexandro writes in. He says Beyond.
Beyond.
GTA is one of the games that whenever one releases, it's always something special. So in honor of GTA 5 coming out today, I ask of you, what is your fondest GTA memory? For me, it was when my cousin and I were 17 and San Andreas had just come out. We both went to our GameStop and they wouldn't sell it to us because we didn't have IDs. It took us a long time. What? Before we were able to get mom to buy it for us. Please proofread your letters. I think it took us a long time is what he's trying to say.
It took us a long time to read this letter.
We were able to get... this is how long it took to convince their mom. They were like, what? That's a good one. I remember... Yeah. Correct me if I'm wrong. Kyle Moriarty, I'm going to speak for him on his behalf.
Okay.
One of his favorite, I think his favorite GTA memory is from GTA 3 when he had to play Hey Mister outside of the GameStop or EB to get his friend, to get somebody to buy it for him. He was also underage. So he had all the money, and I think a guy was walking by with his wife and kid, and he told the husband about it, and he was like, oh, sure. And he went and bought the game for him and gave it to him.
And he was like, I brought this alcohol. And Colin was like, no, I wanted a video
game. I don't want this, man. The establishment.
That's pretty good. It's funny, like playing GTA, my parents wouldn't fucking buy me GTA when I was younger. I played at friends' houses, but GTA 4 came out when I was in college, and I played it basically all day. I mean, I think I've talked about this before, like how that during World to Save, that's always what I picture, because that was me with GTA 4.
I
just would play for like 14 hours without stopping, and like my eyes would just be bloodshot, and I like was so tired, but I didn't want to stop because I was so like, again, into just the scale of it and driving around and being, because that was like, I used to love Spider-Man 2. That was like the open world game where I really would just swing around
balloon!
Fuck around. I would spend so much time just in that world, and GTA 4 was kind of the first game after that really gave me that feeling of like, all I want to do is explore forever. And now this game's even bigger. What's going to be next? It's going to just be a game about
You'll
the whole
be
world.
In the game. Oculus Rift GTA.
Oh, my God. Sprint. That'd be scary. Yeah, shooting people and stuff.
For me, it was GTA 3. When I got that, I was at college, I was a freshman, and I would just leave my door open, and people would come in, random people would be walking down the hall and come in and sit on the floor and watch me play.
It's like homeless people and professors.
Perverts, it didn't matter. And we would just, everybody would always want to listen to Chatterbox, and we would just drive around listening to Chatterbox. And this was back in the days before there were any rules to online music and MP3s and stuff, so we would just have our computers open, ripping music all the time. Hmm. And I remember I had set up an auto search in LimeWire that was looking for the Chatterbox soundtrack if they ever could find it. And one morning I woke up and like blurry, I'd look at my computer and hit it, downloaded the hour-long Chatterbox track.
That's
and
awesome.
And I made a CD and ran over to my friend's room and pounded on the door and gave it to him. We were so excited.
It's so good.
We were huge losers.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we all kind of are still.
Yeah, I know.
What's his name? Laszlo?
Yeah, Laszlo.
Yeah, it's just like, fuck. I just want to
Those were the
hear
days,
that
man.
Forever. Yeah.
Yeah. And they've tried, and maybe it's just that I've grown up or whatever, the experience is different, there's so many radio stations now, but I've never, the magic has never been captured, because that was where Fernando first showed up, and like, Laszlo, I mean, it was untouchable, it was so good.
No, I agree.
I'll tell everyone you were untouchable. Daniel writes, and he says Beyond.
Beyond.
After seeing the 10s that GTA 5 has been getting, no surprise there, I began to think of games lately that have been getting 10s. Obviously, they are still relatively rare, but are becoming more and more common. Do you think that as a medium of video games advances, do you think as the medium of video game advances, perfect 10s will become more and more common, or will standards of a 10 be elevated to an even higher level? Thanks and Beyond, Dan.
I think as you get late in the generation, people know the hardware so well that they can get the most out of it, and you're getting some of the best games we've had in 7-8 years. So I think that's a big part of it. Storytelling and graphics and everything else are just getting so much better than they ever were. So I think it's kind of both, right? Like, I don't think there's a conscious shift where we're going to sit down and be like, okay, the scale for 10s needs to be harder and tougher.
Right.
But I think at the same time, like, we'll naturally evolve to a point where, like, something like I can't imagine this happening, but it's like if stories like The Walking Dead were happening all the time, you would obviously have a higher bar, and it would just get harder and harder to reach that
right.
point.
Yeah, I think you're nailing it as far as technical. And what it is that it's the industry advancing and growing up, right? And so we are telling more mature things. We are going in different directions, doing different things, whether it's mature storytelling or maturing with, you know, the technical aspect of it. Will you see more? I mean, it depends on if the boundaries continue to be pushed and do stuff. But, like, he keeps saying perfect. We always say this. 10 does not mean perfect. And that, I think, the reason you're seeing more 10s might be the fact that that idea is starting to break down, right? What I always talk about it, right, that if I gave Uncharted 3 5 stars out of 5 stars, nobody would give me shit for that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But by giving it a 10, they're like, well, the story didn't make sense here. What was he going to, you know what I mean? Like, that's like, I'm saying that game's something perfect. And that's not what I'm saying. You know what I mean? I'm saying, this game is a masterpiece. And if I call a game a masterpiece, nobody gets really mad about that either. It's when you put a score to something that sets this idea to it that really gets weird. And I think that even in the old days of IGN, I remember old school editors when I first started here saying that, like, no game is 10. The 10 should never be given out. A 10 should be unobtainable. And it's like, that sucks. That's a stupid. Why even have it then? Why even have this, like, you know, this thing on a shelf, this pedestal that you can never touch? I never understood that. So I like the idea that you're going to see more 10s if they deserve it. I'm not saying we should start giving them out willy-nilly, but I'm saying that I don't think it should be untouchable by any means.
Yeah, it's this weird thing where, like, you have this full scale available to you, and it's like, if a game is a masterpiece, it deserves to be on the highest end of our scale. Like, that is the point of not using a yes-no system. If we're going to apply scores at all, then you have to be able to say, this game is truly better than everything else, than all of its peers. It could not possibly be better in my eyes. Again, that doesn't mean it's perfect. That still means there can be room for plot holes and all these other things. Like, it just depends on the experience you had, you know? Like, I mean, it is ultimately your review.
Yeah. Danny writes in. He says, Danny. Beyond.
Beyond.
Whilst the two games are completely different, which do you think will have the biggest impact on the industry and why? Grand Theft Auto V or The Last of Us? Andrew Goldfarb.
Yeah, I mean, it is like apples and oranges, right? Like, I think it's so weird going into next gen. And I mean, GTA, I don't know, will have necessarily more of an impact than it has in the past, because, like, by basically launching the sandbox genre into being what it is, I think GTA kind of already had its biggest impact.
Right.
But that said, I mean, just by, you know, raising the bar for, as again, the biggest scale and the biggest game, like, yeah, like, then the next game wants to be able to say, like, oh, well, we're twice as big as GTA 5, and, like, maybe it won't be as high quality, like they were saying before. Like, the size of the map doesn't have to mean anything, but hopefully it inspires people to, you know, make bigger open world games and things like that. Whereas The Last of Us is more about narrative. It's more about storytelling in games. It's more about, like, you know, I think it proves finally, and like Heavy Rain and a lot of other things have done this, but The Last of Us really proves that, like, the mocap and
performance
and acting and everything all being one person is the best model, because you're going to get the most movie-like performances. You're going to get the most authentic performances of Troy Baker is Joel and Ashley Johnson is Ellie. And I think in that way, it will probably have a bigger impact that's recognizable and immediate to us, I would imagine.
I agree with what you're saying. I think that's the whole point, right? Like, I don't know, and I'm not doing one of these, or my day, or one, you know, I'm so old, but like you have to understand that GTA 3 changed everything, right? Like, I remember, I say this story all the time, so sorry to bore you, but I was a big fan of GTA 2. Like, me and my friends would backyard wrestle, and then we'd come in, and we'd drive around and kill all the Elvises, and that was top-down 2D, you know, just how many stars can we get? And when I saw that first screenshot for GTA 3, I was like, no fucking way are they gonna make the game I've been playing 2D, 3D, open world. There's no possible way. And you played that game, and that's what invented the sandbox genre as you know it. You know what I mean? And so it sucks to say, but like, GTA 5 came out and it's a 10, and pretty much everyone expected that. I don't know how many things people are going to look at and say, oh man, our game should be more like that. Everybody already knew their game should be more like this. It's the fact that when you're talking about the biggest impact from a one-by-one game, I think Last of Us is going to get it because of the fact that it did. Like, first off, I mean, think of it this way, right? Like, we always talk about, like, oh, you have to have a number on the end of your title to sell games. No. Last of Us came out and was like, with the proper marketing, with the proper pedigree, people aren't stupid. We're getting to the point where you understand that, like, if I was to say, oh my gosh, this, you know, Joss Whedon film is going to be awesome, you understand that a Naughty Dog game is going to be awesome. I'm a money hat or whatever you want to say. But you for the sake of argument, just stick with me,
sure,
all right?
Sure.
I'm talking to them. I know you don't care.
Fuck off.
You're not even listening right now. You're just nodding. And can't wait to play GTA.
I'm so drunk right now.
But, I mean, you talk about performances and story and narrative. And that's the thing that, for me, honestly stands out about, like, the flaws of GTA, right, is the fact that animations don't look all that great. There is a jank here and there. When I'm watching a cutscene, their faces don't animate and, like, get me lost in it. I'm like, oh, I'm watching a game. Like, you know what I mean? I am watching puppets. You know what I mean? It's one of those things where there's a stark difference when you're in a cutscene with an NPC that's talking to you, and you're in an outfit you created, right? Your outfit then doesn't blend in anymore as well like theirs does. It doesn't set. Whereas with The Last of Us, right, like you're pressing, the way you press against walls and the way you have those conversations when you walk up to Ellie and all these little things that make you feel and look, and the, like, again, I get why there's these differences. And this is something we brought up in the live stream, right, that people were like, Ryan and I were saying how great GTA 5 looks. And then I've seen comments on the live stream and yada, yada, yada. People are like, this game doesn't look good. Look at the textures of the grass. And yeah, it's like, motherfucker, this is an open world. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, you can see for miles. Like, yes, it doesn't look as good as The Last of Us, which is I'm funneling down one of three hallways or whatever, where we can sit there and render everything and put, you know, these breaks in there. That GTA doesn't get that advantage, and that's why the games look different. But I think what Last of Us brought and the way it connected us with characters really changed is a lot of things. Like, I did that change is a lot of things.
No, nicely changes done. Nicely done. No, I agree with that. I think it's Last of Us gets it right, you know, because obviously we've seen, like, L.A. Noire and all these other things that, like, did performance capture and did all these things, but, like, you still had these, like, major problems with it in that game. It was in Uncanny Valley in, I mean, in the ping pong suit, like you always call it, has been around for so long. I just feel like Last of Us is the first example where it's like, I can totally understand why more and more mainstream people are coming in. Beyond Two Souls looks like it's going to be another one. Like, I mean, like, performance capture has finally been nailed, I feel like. For, like, the first time, I really feel confident that, like, when these big actors are being cast, like Kiefer Sutherland and Ellen Page and all these people, like, they're going to be able to give a performance like they would give in a film if it was just on camera.
Let's do another question.
Okay, let's do it.
This one's not really about GTA, but it's about Red Dead, so it's kind of about GTA.
Okay, this is the Rockstar edition of the show.
Exactly. Yeah. Now we're switching. Michael writes Bully. Michael says Beyond. Beyond. Oh, man, where's Bully 2?
Yeah, how nice.
Where's the PS3 with Trophy Bully?
Yeah.
Come on, man.
It's coming to next gen, bundled in with GTA and Rockstar Table Tennis.
Michael says, has your search for a trophy ruined or diminished your enjoyment of a game's story? With GTA 5 out today, I couldn't help but think about my time with Red Dead Redemption. One night I thought I beat the game, but I knew I still had one trophy left. Instead of playing the game and discovering the very last mission on my own, I immediately looked up the guide to find out why I haven't earned the trophy. By doing this, I ended up spoiling the game for myself. Still love the ending, but it was less suspenseful and emotional for me.
That bums me out. Wow.
That sucks, yeah.
I mean, that specifically is never, I've never, like, spoiled myself looking up a trophy. Colin and I had a question kind of similar to this last week. It depends on the quality of the trophies. I think, I've never, if he's asking specifically, have I ever spoiled myself by looking up trophies? No. Like, and that sucks, and that would be awful. And, like, that kind of bums me out because, like, I like trophies and I like going back and playing games in a different way, but, like, I would never want that situation to come up for me.
Yeah.
I think it's more what we've talked about in the past, like, you with Dead Island or me with, like, some other games that glitch. Yeah. And, like, it doesn't spoil as in getting a spoiler, but it spoils your experience as in diminishing your enjoyment of the game.
Right.
And I think it depends on quality of trophies in terms of does it bring you back to play the game in a different way? Like, my favorite trophy ever, I think, is Minimalist in Unfinished Swan because I played the game in such a different way. I would never, ever, ever have done that if it wasn't for the trophy. And it's such a cool experience and shows you how much thought they put into the sound design in that game. And I never, ever would have appreciated that if I hadn't tried to do that. So I think it's like games can do it really, really well.
Yeah, for me, it's one of those things when I'm playing a game, I'm wrapped up in the story, and I don't open the trophies. Like, Last of Us, I did not look at the trophies until I got to the end, and I was like, hey, I never earned any trophies. Or I might have done it in the middle to see if I had turned off notifications, and I was like, oh, I just haven't earned any. I saw the 0%, I was out. And GTA is the same way for the most part. Like, I started playing, and I don't know, got 5 or 6 hours in, and I had popped a few trophies for, like, you know, like, touchstone story moments. And then I opened them and, like, glanced, and they were all hidden, the story things. I was like, okay. And then it was like, what are the other goofy ones I should be on the lookout for? You know what I mean? Because, like, there are those times where you're running from cops and you go off a hill or something. You want to know what's up. But, yeah, luckily I've never been spoiled for that. Because if it's a game I care that much about, I jump in without caring about it.
Right. And it's kind of funny because, like, we do it to ourselves. Like, we're like, they make hidden trophies for a reason. So you don't get spoiled. Yeah. And then we're like, oh, well, I have to know what the hidden trophies are. But, yeah, I mean, this actually reinforces the reason I really tend to not even look at trophies until I'm done with the game's main story. Because most games now, even if they don't have New Game Plus, you can load chapters or you can go back to a previous save. You have it's like, yes, they're missable trophies, but you always have some kind of way to go back. It's very rare that I'm like, fuck, I have to play this 20-hour game again to get a missable trophy 9 hours in. I have no way to get back other than to start a new game. Like, that's really rare at this point.
Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Podcast Beyond. Episode 310.
So crazy.
Episode 311 is right around the corner. I won't be here, so don't let Colin get us sued by 311 for playing too much 311.
I think we'll just upload a 311 song to the podcast feed next week.
Like what we did for the Beastie Boys one time, because podcast servers are weird and complicated. Also, hey, we've made it this far in the show. Like I always say when you listen to the show, you're our friends, not our fans. Thank you so much for your support. Heads up, though. I'm not a motherfucking audio technician, and I hate making the podcast. So when there's a problem with the podcast audio-wise, report it and then just stop. Don't make a funny little joke about it. Don't ask me if I'm stupid. I will murder you. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. I would love to have an audio tech. I would love to have equipment that we walked in and just flipped the switch and everything worked. Yeah. It doesn't work that way here.
It said it was 30 minutes of setup before we even started this.
Right,
podcast.
And we were already late. And so there's and I'm got you. We all have appointments and work to do. So thank you for your support, ladies and gentlemen. We're in it together. We love you so much. I remember Podcast Beyond posts every Tuesday. I try to hit 2 o'clock. I'm not going to hit it today.
It's 1:45.
Nope, not even remotely close because I'm right into a State of Decay live stream. I don't even know how I get this tagged with the bumpers and everything else. We do it for you, though, so make sure you come to IGN, read the articles, watch the videos, and then subscribe to IGN Prime. That'd be cool, right? That's it gets you out of the ads, which is why I'm a Prime member.
It's especially nice on mobile because you just are out of that experience.
Oh, yeah, mobile's isn't. The new apps really get to you. And this is not sound chilly, but it's not. It's like, really, the app's awesome. Go get the app.
I'm finally using this. iOS is the first time from my phone I'm just using the app.
Yep.
In like forever.
I deleted m.ign.com. I was like, this app's way better than the mobile.
Yep. Finally.
Man,
yep.
We sound terrible. Sorry about that, ladies and gentlemen. But then follow
There's
us on Twitter.
There's got to be a better way.
There is. Make sure you follow us on Twitter. I'm going to screw this one up.
No,
IGN is IGN. I'm Game Over Greggy. Andrew Goldfarb is Garfep.
That was
shaky
best.
Still, but I was I'm getting there.
Yeah.
Colin is No Taxation. He's over in Japan seeing crazy Japanese games. So why don't you give him a follow, see what he's up to.
Yeah.
If you get to this in time, Wednesday night at 6:30? When is it? There's a PlayStation press conference from
6:30 Pacific time, I believe, until...
So 9:30 Eastern time.
Yes.
8:30 Central Standard Time.
I think
time.
It's 2 hours long, I want to say.
Sorry, UK. I don't know your... I don't know
it's like, it's sort of a press conference. It's just the keynote opening TGS. We honestly don't know how much to expect, but it'll be cool.
I'll be live tweeting
it. I think she was there.
Yeah, I'll be live tweeting it. Colin will be there. We'll be ready to do a whole bunch of stuff and break out things, so make sure you keep it tuned to IGN. Keep it locked to IGN. Never understood that one.
I think it's like a radio dial. Like, it's like a... You don't lock a radio dial.
No, exactly.
What am I, old man, Greg?
I don't know anybody. Every song, God damn it. Every show ends with a song. How do I guess these are just like the more freewheeling parts of the show.
And that's the thing. It's not like you... I did an episode of Podcast Unlocked a few weeks ago, and Ryan had like a cheat sheet in front of him. It was all the segments of the show. You don't have any of that. Like, you're just...
We're a conversational show.
You've done this so many times, it just comes naturally. And occasionally, if you're thinking something else, it just interrupts you.
Every episode.
Yeah.
Every episode.
When you have 400,000 things in your brain.
Yeah, exactly.
I understand why you mess up.
You're a
sometimes.
Good man. I hope everybody else does too. Every show ends with a song and a segment we call Ryan's Wrap-Up. Today's song comes from Josh Willie. He says, Beyond!
Beyond.
Here's a song from my band's just released 3-song EP. It'll probably shock a van full of nuns off the road. We've been playing clubs around Dallas, but would love to get out to the whole Beyond Nation. To learn more about us, go to facebook.com/GenerationWastedBand. We should be up on iTunes by October. Hopefully, hope you like it. Thanks, Generation Wasted. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us for Podcast Band episode 310. Here is Circles from Generation Wasted. Yeah.
I wish your life Here's a quick question for you. How did you sleep last night? If your battle for a good night's sleep feels relentless, I have the answer. It's a podcast called Sleepwave, with meditations and hypnosis created to help you fall asleep. My relaxation techniques will help you feel calm and ready for sleep, with soft music that will help you fall asleep in minutes. Most listeners never hear the end of an episode. So search Sleepwave on your favorite podcast app and find out why over a million people have fallen asleep to my voice.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am extremely excited to invite you to Rachel Uncensored. It's my podcast where I sit down and get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. And sometimes we might be under the influence when we do so. We cover things from personal stories to hot button issues. And it's the only place on the internet you can find an uncensored version of me. It's a side of me that you might not have seen before because it's not the most family or brand friendly. But don't worry, I'm still sort of slightly a decent human being. If you're intrigued, then make sure you check it out. New episodes drop every Wednesday. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.